This program is a production of the Reformed Forum, online at reformedforum.org. Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. This is episode number 15. My name is Camden Busey. I have with me today Nick Batzig, who's church planter in Richmond Hill, Georgia. Nick, you mentioned a new Tim Keller book.
Yeah, I saw on the Westminster Books website that there is a new Tim Keller book coming out in October. You can pre-order it now at WTS Books. It's called Counterfeit Gods, The Empty Promises of Money, Sex, and Power, and the Only Hope That Matters. It looks like it's very much in the same vein as G.K. Beale's book on idols. I forget the name of that. We Are What
We
Worship.
Yeah, We Become What We Worship. And he mentioned he would rather have called it, at least after the fact, We Become Like What We Worship. I just remember him being upset about that when we interviewed him.
Yes, so it looks like Tim Keller's book is very much along the same lines. I think it's going to be an interesting book, actually. One thing that I learned from Phil Ryken when I was at 10th was that the Book of Kings, for instance, is structured by these major, what they call them as melodic lines or themes, money, sex, and power. And you can trace those three primary idols or those primary driving, motivating forces through the book of 1st and 2nd Kings, just as an example of some books. You can probably take through a lot of books, but 1st Kings is really driven. You look at all the kings, and it's one of these three things that makes them fall or that identifies them or marks them out and their failed ministry, money, sex, and power. And so this looks like it'll be an intriguing book. Tim Keller always has a lot of thought-provoking things. It looks like it's $54 for the pack five.
Well,
it took me a minute to figure that out. I thought it was $54 for a 192-page book, but that looks good. And then, Camden, let me just very briefly mention Brian Chappell's new book, which I have not read. Christ-Centered Worship, which I guess is a companion volume to his Christ-Centered Preaching. Again, I think it looks like an intriguing book. I've heard good things about it. I think worship and preaching, as you do, should be Christ-centered and that Jesus should
idea.
Get the preeminence. I mean, he gets the preeminence in everything, so, you know, he ought to in our worship with the Father and the Spirit, obviously.
Yeah.
So I would encourage our listeners to pick up a copy of that, Christ-Centered Worship, Letting the Gospel Shape Our Practice. And then I'm sure you and Jeff have mentioned this already, but Michael Horton's new book,
yeah,
along the same line, The Gospel-Driven Life.
Right.
Very, very thankful for what Michael Horton's doing, showing how so much of the preaching in evangelicalism is moralistic, legalistic, even if it doesn't come across as law-heavy, driven by fear and self-righteousness and just moral self-renovation apart from Christ and the Holy Spirit and the gospel. So I do think that's a noteworthy book, The Gospel-Driven Life. Very thankful for Dr. Horton's work in that area.
Yeah. I would like to mention another book that's a little bit, it's older, but I just got a copy. It's a funny story. I grew up in a very small town, no stoplights. I mean, it's that small. And my father was at a wedding, and he got to talking with one of the local pastors, and it turns out he has written a book for Crossway titled Unpacking Forgiveness, Biblical Answers for Complex Questions and Deep Wounds. I just wanted to promote this book a little bit. Some of our listeners might not have heard about it, but it really just tackles the biblical concept of forgiveness. It really sets it in the correct light, and he goes through a lot of the passages in Scripture regarding forgiveness and kind of unmasks some of the false conceptions we have about the teaching today. We often have kind of a therapeutic or a psychological understanding of forgiveness. You know what I mean, Nick? Where people think forgiving somebody means letting it go regardless,
right,
or making yourself feel better. It's a self-centered kind of therapeutic model, but that's really not what biblical forgiveness is.
No.
And he has some really helpful chapters in you know, dealing with the question of when do you forgive? What does it look like to forgive? do you forgive someone who's unrepentant? You know, there's all sorts of really tough questions. And I know there are many people out there that might struggle with forgiveness and are dealing with really difficult situations, but when all they have is a therapeutic model, they don't know how to live with it.
What is the name of this book again?
Unpacking Forgiveness. It's by Crossway. The author is Chris Brauns, Braunns. And it's a great book. I really want to promote it and let some people know about it. Just because it serendipitously came to my attention.
It sounds very much like Jay Adams' book. We don't mention Jay enough, I don't think personally on this show, but
right.
Jay has a little book from Forgiven to Forgiveness, I think is the title. And I found it to be one of the most helpful books I've ever read. I mean, I found a lot of the things Jay has written to be very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
But he deals with that are we to hold out forgiveness to people, as sometimes you see on the news, a woman, her child is killed by a murderer, and she says, well, I just forgive him. And he hasn't asked for forgiveness. He hasn't repented. Now, we're to have forgiving hearts, obviously, and Jay makes that point. We're to have our hearts are to be in a posture ready to offer that forgiveness, and we are to be, you know, not harboring bitterness and
wrath.
That's
the thing. He says, you know, we shouldn't forgive just free forgiveness because it's a cheap grace. But he also goes emphasizes that we are never excused for having bitterness, etc. So he doesn't. You know, go off into some crazy territory. But this book is great, and Jay Adams, I'm sure, is as well. But, I mean, this is one doctrine we just really don't understand anymore.
Yeah, know? I've thought lately that I'm glad you brought that up. I think especially for those of you who are pastors, who are interested in growing in your pastoral applications of theology, a book like this is what we need. We need to be in more books like that where we really know how to. That's a big issue both on person-to-person relationships in the church and in counseling. How many people are going to come to you and in their hearts they're wondering, am I forgiven? And what's the grounds of my forgiveness? And how do I get over this horrible thing that happened to me in relation to this person?
Yeah.
And not in a psychological but a biblical and properly biblical psychological way.
Right. So absolutely.
So that sounds good. Can I also mention Camden real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Schreiner and
hey.
Tom Schreiner mentioned this, has a book coming out February 2010 called Magnifying God in Christ. You gotta love that title, God
which
in Christ.
Which was the subtitle of his New Testament theology.
Yep, and this is a student level digest of his exploring key themes, teachings of the New Testament in a more accessible and concise way. And that's Baker Academic. That's coming out February 2010. So that looks good. A summary.
And you can listen to our interview with him. I believe it was episode 88. So that's reformedforum.org/CTC88. Fun discussion. That's a great book. And I'm interested to see how it actually survives. That's probably the wrong word. That's not what I mean. But I'm actually interested to see it in a different form because this could be really helpful to take the content of this book to give to lay people or students.
Yes.
It could be really, really useful. So we don't have a whole lot in that area. I mean, we've got Clowney's The Unfolding Mystery. We have some books by Graham Goldsworthy. But a lot of redemptive historical type stuff. Or New Testament theology, looking at Christ in all of Scripture, that sort of thing, isn't always accessible to the student, to the layperson.
Yes, you know, I just noticed this, Camden, building on your recommendation of Braun's book on forgiveness. Paternoster has the newest book in their Focusing On series. That's the name of their series, Focusing On. They have a book by Derek Prince, who I know has written several good books. One on pastoral wisdom that he wrote with Alistair Begg. I forget the precise title of that, but it is called, his new book is called I Forgive You, and it deals with both the God to man forgiveness and man to man forgiveness that God requires. So
absolutely.
That looks like it's a new release. Do you have anything else? I'm checking out Paternoster real quick before.
Nothing new. We don't have Jeff with us today, but we can pause now And I was able to record with him yesterday. So he's not on with us as we speak, but here, let me play a recording of Jeff mentioning a few new books.
Let's see. John Wenham, The Christ in the Bible, which is now has a third edition, is due out in this month, actually. Here we are, September. I mentioned, I think, the Bruce Gordon book on Calvin. John Piper plugged the book the other day. I saw the other day on a video that Nick had posted at Feeding on Christ. And Sean Lucas has also plugged it. It looks like R.C. Sproul has a new series of little booklets or paperback, Crucial Question Series, he calls it. And several of them are being issued. Can I Know God's Will? Can I Trust the Bible? How Should I Live in This World? Those kinds of things. And then he's got a two-volume commentary on Romans that's due out. I believe he had an earlier commentary on Romans. This is not the same one. It's a totally new thing. And then there's the book called The End of the Law, Mosaic Covenant in Pauline Theology. In Pauline Theology by Jason Meyer. And let's see. You know what they've done? They've taken Leon Morris's commentary on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and made it a standalone, you know, like they did with John Murray's commentary on Romans. The Nick Knott volumes that are being phased out and replaced by newer commentaries, it looks like they're keeping them, but is now with standalone commentaries. Let's see. Anybody here like reading Anthony Thistleton?
I haven't.
Oh, he's a
not
very.
That I haven't enjoyed it. I haven't read him.
He's quite a brilliant scholar in the area of biblical studies and hermeneutics. Very much an expert in the field of hermeneutics. Probably read more in him than anybody else on the topic, and probably haven't been able to figure it out as of yet. But anyway, the Bible among The Myths, Unique Revelation or Just Ancient Literature by John Oswald, due out in October. Then there is called the book called The Virtuous Reader. This is Old Testament Narrative and Interpretive Virtue, and it's in a series called Studies in Theological Interpretation by Richard Briggs. I think we mentioned in the interview with Tom Schreiner that he's coming out with a summary of his larger book on the New Testament theology. Was that mentioned?
I don't recall. It may have been, but...
Okay, it's called Magnifying God in Christ, a Summary of New Testament Theology.
Okay.
So it looks like it's a shortened version of what we have in the larger book.
Right.
Another edition of Let the Nations Be Glad, The
really?
Supremacy of God and Missions, third edition.
Huh.
Yeah, the second edition is only a few years old, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's the one I've read, I believe.
So third edition's out. Hmm. If you don't mind, I'll keep going here. There's just a bunch of stuff. There's D.A. Carson's got a book called The Intolerance of Tolerance. That looks interesting, for sure. What about Bruce Waltke's book with James Houston called The Psalms as Christian Worship?
Hmm.
That's due out quite soon. Here's a book that I would definitely recommend, or an area that I would recommend folk to get more into, and it's called Medical Ethics and the Faith Factor. Biomedical ethics is an area that you might, given our current, the nation's current debate with healthcare reform.
Yeah.
This is an issue that's, of course, bigger or deeper than that issue. But
yeah, and it's not getting any simpler either.
No, right.
With
and
the advances in technology, we have some
exactly.
really my, difficult challenges coming up in the future.
My wife being a nurse, I hear all sorts of things, but I've always been interested in this area, and the author Robert Orr is well known in bioethics, not only in Christian bioethics circles, but also in secular bioethics circles. So you want to keep that in mind. The Historical Jesus of the Gospels by Craig Keener. You want to be on the lookout for that one. The Letter to the Philippians by Walter Hansen, The Gospel of John and Cultural and Rhetorical Perspective by Jerome Nere. He's one of those guys that's big into socio-rhetorical criticism or the social scientific approach to the New Testament. Then there's all sorts of other goodies that Erdmans has come out with. Has anybody seen the Calvin Handbook? There's a beautiful book.
Yeah. Man. We've been
Herman Selderhaus.
Exactly.
My goodness, it's huge. I think Carl Truman, among others, has a chapter in there. All right. InterVarsity, of course, another publisher with lots of stuff forthcoming. Some of the listeners may be familiar with Thomas Torrance, the neo-Orthodox Scottish theologian whose volume on the Incarnation came out last year. The second volume on the Atonement is due out this November. So you want to keep your eyes open for that if you're interested in the theology of Torrance. Not that we agree with everything he said, but every once in a while he gets something interesting. Donald Fairbairn, Life in the Trinity. And John Salehammer, who never fails to write an interesting book, has a new one called The Meaning of the Pentateuch. This, again, it's InterVarsity Press. John Goldengay.
Goldengay.
Yeah, volume 3 of his Old Testament theology. Again, someone who I might take issue with on some things, but definitely worth reading. And then, let's see, in December, my goodness. Lots of stuff. There's a new book in that new Studies in Biblical Theology called God the Peacemaker. More of those volumes in the early Church Fathers, the Ancient Christian Text. Homilies on Numbers by Origen. My goodness, trying to keep up with these. So Homilies on Origen. Homilies on Numbers by Origen. Kind of get those backwards. given my state of mind, I'm surprised I can even talk.
What's the subtitle on that? How to Spiritualize the Bible?
Ooh. Yeah, how to read Platonic philosophy into it. We believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. That's the Ancient Christian Doctrine series, volume 3, I believe. You may remember earlier volumes. Then there's Worshiping with the Church Fathers, which is, again, I think is a companion volume to the Ancient Christian Commentary. Looking through further IVP titles. There's one more. Oh, interesting. Okay. Speaking of the Ancient Christian Commentary, there's a volume on the Apocrypha due out in March of 2010. Another biography of John Stott called Basic Christian. There's already a two-volume biography of John Stott, and now this one. Anybody here familiar with Peter Kreft?
I heard the name.
Okay, he's got a book called Between Allah and Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He's a Roman Catholic apologist. And here's the commentary on the Gospel of John by Theodore of Mopsuestia. You know, who is Theodore of Mopsuestia? Well, he's the man who's the exemplar for the Alexandrian school of biblical interpretation. Usually, The Great Theologians by Gerald McDermott and the Indelible Image series. Oh, two volumes. These are commentaries on the world of the New Testament by Ben Witherington.
All right. So there's a lot of new, many new books that are out, and you can visit the website and check those out. We'll try to put links to those in the show notes if we can. Otherwise, rewind it and listen to it again. Because we're busy. If anyone would like to volunteer, we still have a wiki at wiki.reformforum.org, and we try to put entries up for all of our shows. So it's helpful to have links to these things in the show notes for people who want to listen, or people who don't have a pen and paper in front of them as they listen, perhaps as they're driving down the road. But anyway, Nick, is that about it?
Yeah, there's a couple books that I would mention in the Studies in Christian History and Thought series by Paternoster. I love that series.
We should just call them Our Father. We should say, like, Our Father is focusing on...
Our Father Publishing has a book called The Sunday School Movement.
No, we say Our Father is writing on the Sunday School Movement.
Yes. So, and that looks good. The Sunday School Movement, it's a book that has several contributions.
You know much about the history of that? I mean, some people might be interested to know. It started off as, to my knowledge, trying to teach kids, you know, regular school stuff like arithmetic and reading and writing on Sundays for the disadvantaged, for people who didn't have access to school, or for kids that were working in factories all the other days of the week.
And then ultimately, I think for catechizing, it became, you're right, that stepping stone to catechizing them in doctrine. There were a lot of men in Reformed Presbyterianism, and still are. I know several very solid men that don't like the idea of Sunday school and think, because you don't see it expressly mentioned in Scripture.
Sure.
Or who think that it takes away from
the family.
People, well, from the family, but and yes, leaving the emphasis on teaching all needs to be done on a church, gathered church level, rather than fathers taking up that responsibility in the home.
Yeah.
But then also, because a lot of people go to Sunday school and morning worship and will not go to evening worship. And so, you know, if you're going to have morning and evening worship, why even bother having Sunday school? I'd rather, and I feel this way to some extent, I'd rather have people come to morning and evening than go to Sunday school in morning. Archibald Alexander, though, wrote a defense of Sunday school, and I do think Sunday schools have a lot of benefit because you can teach things you won't preach in a sermon. You can do more church history. You can do, you know, your doctrines courses, your new members courses, your communicant classes.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot. As you know, this show, I hope, you know, reveals to our listeners that you can't do in a sermon. That nevertheless,
I mean, you don't preach like this.
Yeah, my people would ask me to leave, and
do you just bring a headset and just Skype into your?
I set a mic up in front of me, and I talk to them.
Yeah. You got your sandals on and tank top.
Yeah, it's a campus. We're starting the church plant with a multi-campus ministry, so we don't actually ever meet together.
We just put flat
screen TVs in everybody's houses, and I broadcast right in, or so they say to me that they actually.
Yeah, listen. How do we know? They have to chat so we can make sure that they're there. We would actually qualify for a mega church if we did that.
Yes.
Something to consider.
let me see real quick if there's anything else at Our Father Publications. Hold on. That's really
funny.
This
is what happens after Nick and I have been recording for a couple hours. We get silly.
Paternoster at Notre Dame. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Our father and our mother.
Now, here's one, The Ground of Election. I haven't read any of these, by Clark Stewart. The Ground of Election, Jacob Arminius's Doctrine of the Person and Work of Christ. That looks very interesting. See, I really like this set of books. This is the set that the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Cessation of Special Revelation is in. It's the set that Imputation and Impartation is in.
Oh, yeah.
It's the set that Mark Garcia's volume was initially published in. But this book looks really interesting. Jacob Arminius's Doctrine of the Person and Work of Christ, The Ground of Election, by Stuart Clark. He is a retired Methodist minister. Christ, the Mediator of the Law, Calvin's Christological Understanding of the Law as the Rule of Living and Life-Giving, by, don't ask me to pronounce his name. His last name's Moon, though. That looks good. Christ, the Mediator of the Law, Calvin's Christological Understanding of the Law as the Rule of Living and Life-Giving. A lot of these were dissertations, actually.
They get converted into book form, either expanded or edited just a little bit. There's some great stuff from Paternoster.
I know. Here's one by James Packer. Is this J.I. Packer? Wow, this is J.I. Packer's dissertation. I didn't know this. Redemption and Restoration of Man in the Thought of Richard Baxter. Mm-hmm. It was originally submitted as his doctoral thesis at Oxford in 1954.
Wow.
The Redemption and Restoration of Man in the Thought of Richard Baxter, J.I. Packer. Michael Thomas, The Extent of the Atonement. I'm going to wrap it up here in a second. Michael Thomas, The Extent of the Atonement, The Analysis of the Diversity of Early Reformed Thought on the Extent of the Atonement. And that was, I believe, a doctoral dissertation, The Extent of the Atonement. Here's an interesting looking one, Priesthood of Some Believers. That's a great title, by Colin Bully, or Bully Colin, I'm not sure which goes first. Sorry. The first in-depth treatment of early Christian text on the priesthood of all believers. Now, interestingly, and I'm taking up all our time, my dad once said to me, Nick, see if you can find a book written on the priesthood of all believers.
And well, you so don't have one here because this is only one on some of them.
Well, no, I know. But I thought, surely I can find a book on the priesthood of all believers. So I start searching high and low. And what I find is several academic articles that you can find online, certain JSTOR, ATLA, certain article scholarly article databases.
Right.
There's an article in the book The Compromised Church or Compromising Church, a John H. Armstrong compilation volume that I think Mark Dever wrote on the abuse. It might have been Mark Dever. It was, I know he wrote in this volume, but it was on the abuse of the priesthood of all believers in downplaying special office. But interestingly, there has been almost nothing, to my knowledge, written on a doctrine that we say is so important in Protestantism.
That's curious, isn't it?
The priesthood of all believers. So maybe this book, looking at the ancient church, the early church text on that doctrine, says it shows the developing priesthood of the ordained related closely to the division between laity and clergy.
Huh.
So I'll stop there because there are more on this website. But
well, we'll get to that in coming weeks.
I love this set, though. Specific. Is it Paternoster or Paternoster?
I don't know.
I don't either. But.
Right. Well, you can visit us at reformedforum.org. You can get a list of all these books, and you can also find out ways to contact us. You can now send us a voicemail at 440-97-FORUM, or you can email us at mail@reformedforum.org. We love getting feedback, so if you have any questions or comments, suggestions, anything, just send us a note. And we'll get back to you as soon as we can. You can, of course, visit Nick at feedingonchrist.com. A lot of great stuff's been going up there recently. It's a great website, not just because I run it, but Nick puts a lot of time and effort into it. So why don't you visit feedingonchrist.com and read some of the entries. There's a lot of good threads there, and the comments are always interesting as well. But we want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you join us again next time on the Reformed Media Review.